we present the best of South African radio drama for your listening pleasure in Radio Theatre. And now, Act One of this week's story.
July Handicap. Come in.
Markerson's statement is ready for you to sign, Mr. Ward. They have to have it by 4 o'clock.
Oh, yes, I'll sign it right away. Have Jackson take it.
Yes, here you are, sir.
Thank you. Darling.
Shh, the door's open.
No one can hear.
Just a minute. Darling, you really must be more careful. Suppose Jackson had come in.
Oh, Enid, my sweet. You know, I'm a gambler in business, in racing, in my love affairs. Taking a chance is part of the excitement.
That's hardly flattering, is it?
Oh, now, Enid...
Is that what you call our relationship? A sort of stimulant for your excitement? Why don't you leave my heart alone and buy a purple one instead?
Well, I didn't mean it that way. After all, you're married to a very nice guy. I like Peter very much.
This is getting more fascinating by the second. Any other reasons you can think of?
Enid, my sweet, you made a promise.
I know. Oh, Derek, if only you weren't married.
Ah, but I am. That's all there is to it.
Married. An invalid wife who's been living in Switzerland for years.
Yes?
Mr. Fraser North to see you, sir. Shall I ask him to wait?
Yes, please.
Oh, darling. I thought you said that you had a golden rule. You never conducted your racing business during working hours.
True, but this is urgent.
Oh, anything I should know?
What is there about my racing activities that you don't know?
Well, all I know is that you spend a fortune every month with this Fraser North, and you haven't had a winner in 3 months. As a trainer, he hasn't been very successful, has he?
No. You're still angry because you lost money on Prince's Pie last week. You lost only 5 rands. I lost 500.
Yes, and what did your trainer say before the race? What did he call it? A flyer? A racing certainty.
Well, you must admit it only got beaten by a nose. Anyway, let's have Fraser in. This is big stuff.
What's it all about?
Remember my telling you that about 18 months ago I paid 500 guineas at the yearling sales for Plutarch? Came from the estate of old man Nielsen?
Yes, you entered it in the juvenile plate. Came last. I told you it would. But, oh, that horse is going to make us our fortunes. Where have I heard that before?
He was out of Pretty Polly by Tetrarch. Tetrarch's sire was the famous patriarch. Probably the greatest stayer bred in this country. The last race was much too short for him. We're running Plutarch on Saturday. King's Emerald, sure to be a hot-pot favourite. We'll get 8s to 10s on Plutarch. Just a minute.
Yes, Mr. Ward?
Show Mr. North in, please.
Right, sir.
I'd better go. As it is, Fraser North suspects there's something between us.
What do you care? He's not likely to tell Peter.
Oh, I've reached a stage where I don't care whether he does. Oh, Derek.
Oh, now, let's not go over all that again, dear. You know as well as I do that...
Good afternoon, Mr. North.
Oh, hello, Fraser. Come on in.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ward. Mrs. Bentley.
Good afternoon. Would that be all, Mr. Ward? This document must go off.
Oh, yes. Right. It is signed, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I'll see you later, Mr. North.
I suppose you'll be at the races on Saturday?
Oh, I don't know, really. It depends on what my husband's doing.
She'll be there. I've told Enid about Plutarch. Still so confident, Peter?
Confident? Look at this, sir. Hmm? He did a gallop this morning, a mile straight at 1 minute 32 seconds. The course record is 1 minute 34.
Here, show me. 1 minute 32 seconds? Why, you'll be a second patriarch. The bookies are in for a surprise on Saturday.
They are, but... Don't you say anything to anybody, will you, Mrs. Bentley?
I promise I won't.
Well, run along, my girl. Get that document off.
I've not met anyone near the stables while we've been training Plutarch. Jimmy Duplessis has been sworn to secrecy.
That's what worries me. You know how these jockeys talk.
Oh, not Jimmy, Mr. Ward. He knows that if we all play our cards right, there's a fortune in it for all of us by the time next July comes round. You'll be 3 years old then, and you'll make some of the fancied horses sit up.
Do you still think that with careful grooming, Plutarch can make the July?
I don't think so. I know it.
And you've given Jimmy his instructions for Saturday. He's got to watch King's Emerald and beat him, but we don't want any runaway wins. Do you understand that?
He understands all right, sir. After all, he's got his sights set for the July, too.
You can tell Jimmy from me that if we pull that one off next year, he'll get a nice fat bonus all right.
Oh, it's not only that, sir. Jockeys may be a cynical lot, but there's not one who wouldn't give his right arm to be able to say, I rode a July winner. Come to that, the same applies to us trainers, too.
And owners. Oh, I won't pretend I follow the sport of kings for the sheer joy of it. I'm in it to make money, not to lose it. And that 35,000 rand stake money isn't exactly hay. We keep talking about the July, but so far Plutarch hasn't galloped beyond a mile.
You know his pedigree. He's a stayer, and 10.5 furlongs is just the right distance. You see...
He'll have to run quite a few races before he gets to next year's July. Let's concentrate on next Saturday's race first.
Look at this, Mr. Ward. 600 to 100, Plutarch. Well, barely.
Well, 100 rand's a lot of money for you to put on, isn't it, Fraser?
Well, sir, it's not only mine. Half of it's Jimmy's. What odds did you get?
Same as you, 6-1.
You must have had quite a sizable bet, Mr. Ward. Plutarch's now 2-1. The favourite is eased to evens.
Well, I've taken 6,000 rands to 1,000. I can only hope you're right. I'm very disappointed, though.
Why so, sir?
He's only run once, came second last, and opens at 6-1. I thought we'd get tens at least, with King's Emerald opening as odds-on favourite.
I know, sir, but the bookies know the horse's pedigree. They won't take any chances. Last time he ran, it was over 5 furlongs.
Hey, look at the time, sir. It's about time we went to the paddock ring. Oh, good heavens, so it is. Where's Jimmy? Should have weighed in by now. I must say, Plutarch certainly looks a picture.
Mm, so does King's Emerald, sir.
Don't tell me you've got cold feet at the last moment. If Plutarch doesn't win, I'll boil you in oil.
He'll win. He's got to.
Well, what is it?
Number 5, bed and breakfast.
Well?
That's bed and breakfast, been sent down from the land. He's a full brother to Plutarch.
What?
Don't you remember, Mr. Ward? There were only 2 yearlings who came under the hammer from the estate. I bought one for you, that was Plutarch. The other was bed and breakfast. He went up to Joburg. You've been so busy worrying about King's Emerald...
Here, where's the race card, quickly? What's he done?
Oh, let's have a look. Oh, nothing, sir. Came 5th in the juvenile place at Turfantine. Hmm. Now running in Harry Gosling's colours.
Oh, there he is. Hello there.
Hello, Fraser. Hello, Mr. Ward.
Since when have you been buying land horses? For that matter, when did you decide to become an owner as well as a trainer?
I didn't. You know old Sid Myers in Johannesburg? Mm-hmm. He's been owing me nearly 800 rand for 2 years. Well, he's been having a rough time. Eventually, I agreed to take bed and breakfast. I knew I'd never get the hard cash.
So you got bed and breakfast for 800 rand?
That's a joke. I got him for nothing. Well, it was a gambling bet when old Sid came down for the July 3 years.
So Harry Gosling, horse trainer, becomes trainer owner.
That's right. All I'm praying for is that bed and breakfast wins the race and I can sell him. Can't afford to keep them myself over the price of feed.
Fancy the horse in this race?
Huh? Against King's Emerald? Don't make me laugh. It's just that I want to get him used to the Greyville track more than anything. Oh, excuse me, there's my jockey.
Well, all I can say, sir, if he's successful as an owner as he is as a trainer, he's going to starve to death. Here comes Jimmy.
Good afternoon, Mr. Watson.
Hello, Jimmy. Now, you know what you've got to do. Leave it to me, sir.
The only thing against you is your draw. Now, get away smartly. Force the pace, but make sure nothing gets in front of you. Do you understand?
Once you're past the 5...
Oh, remember, Mr. North, I've only got King's Emerald to beat, and after this morning's gallop, it's in the bag.
What about bed and breakfast?
Well, Tiny Panamelva tells me he hasn't even got a chance. Bed and breakfast has just come down from the rant, and Tiny's not riding to win. We'll still need a race, sir.
Oh, well. Going out.
You go. Why, there's Enid. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Bessie. See you later, Fraser.
Oh, right, Mr. Ward.
Hello there.
Hello, Mr. Ward. You know my husband, Peter.
Yes, of course. Hello there.
Thank you for the complimentary tickets. Very kind of you, Mr. Ward.
Not a bit. Well, what have you bet in this race?
Well, Enid tells me that your horse has got a chance for a place. I put a couple of rand on.
Well, you go to the tote and put a couple of rands on for a win as well.
And you think you'll beat the favourite? They say it's a racing certainty.
Never mind what they say. Take my advice, Mr. Bentley. Even if it comes a place, you won't have lost any money.
Well, if you're so confident...
Then hurry up. They have me under starter's orders in a moment. It's nearly 5-2.
Oh, good heavens, so it is. Excuse me, dear.
Hello.
Oh, darling.
Have you backed it?
Plutarch, you mean? Of course. But I couldn't tell Peter. He'd get suspicious. I put 10 rand on it at 6-1. Oh, dear. I don't know what I'll do if it loses.
Don't say that. I'm sorry. That's a very unlucky thing to say on a race course. Well, come on. I'll take you into the members' stand.
And now they're under starter's orders for the 4th race over 1 mile. Passionate ladies playing up a bit. Greek Senate's gone out of line. So is Plutarch.
Oh, no.
I'm a bit nervous.
Felicity, Jack Hammer. It's a very bad line indeed now. And the starter's all of them back. David Files seems to be causing a little trouble. They're going into line. Up to the tapes. And away, go up there to the next one's side. Keep set. The drummer will be there with them breakfast, Lazy River. Then comes King's Arrow, Passionate Lady smiling through. Greek Senators open up a window with about seven or eight men.
Oh, the fool, I told you to go up and
front. They come through the sixth furlong. King's Emerald is almost alongside Greek Senator, immediately behind his Passionate Lady. Then comes Plutarch, one skirt for the moment. He's expecting breakfast. And now King's Emerald is going for the lead. Greek Senator looks like in trouble there. Yes, it's King's Emerald from Passionate Lady. Then comes Bed and Breakfast. And alongside Bed and Breakfast is Plutarch, followed by Smiling Crew and Jackar. And that's the order of the moment. King's Emerald the favorite, a clear length lead from Greek Senator, Passionate Lady. And now it's Bed and Breakfast. Bed and Breakfast is going terrifically well. Looks as if he's overtaking the favorite. And now Plutarch comes on the scene with two furlongs to go. It looks like a match between these three. And it's Bed and Breakfast in the lead. And now here comes Plutarch. Plutarch going terrifically well. Plutarch looks like one of the stage. It's less than a furlong to go. Bed and Breakfast has got that. It's Plutarch followed by King General. And Jack comes there on the scene. And Plutarch looks like winning it now. Yes, it's Plutarch. First pass the first. Followed by King General.
Oh, darling, we've won! Sorry, I thought you were Peter. Hello, Peter. I didn't see you standing there.
Obviously not.
What do you mean?
Well, let's go round the back. I have cleaned my horse into the winning enclosure. Then we'll go and have a celebration drink in the members' lounge. Come on, everyone. Drink up.
Did you have a good win, Mr. Ward?
Fair, fair. What about you?
It paid 7 round 20 on the tote and 2 round 50 for a place. I've won about 39 round.
Oh, quite a fortune.
My heart was in my mouth, I can tell you.
You want to hold on to it, Mr. Bentley. The rest of the card looks a bit tricky.
No, I don't propose to give it back, I can tell you. Enid is the gambler in our family. I wouldn't have come here today if she hadn't been so insistent.
Glad now, darling?
Yes, of course. Here.
What's that?
19 round, that's for you.
Oh, darling, you are sweet.
Very generous gesture.
Not a bit.
Oh, I hear Harry Gosling. Come on, Harry. Join us for a drink.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. I don't mind if I do. Congratulations. Fancy beating King's Emerald. I wouldn't believe it.
Bed and Breakfast did very well.
Yes, until the 6 furlongs. Many blew out. That horse isn't a stayer, you know.
Had me worried for a bit.
Yeah, you needn't have been worried. I didn't give it a chance. Never had a penny on it. See how it faded out?
Well, what do you propose to do with Bed and Breakfast? When are you entering it again?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'll put it up for sale. Frankly, I need the money.
Harry, do you realize...
What do you think you'll get for the animal?
Oh, well, I think it's worth every penny of 800 rand. That's cost of the yearling.
Oh, Peter, darling, why aren't you rich? I'd love to own a horse. Just think of it. It's only a couple of months to Christmas. Just imagine if you had enough money to buy Bed and Breakfast for me.
If I had 800 rand to spare, I'd have more uses for it than buying a racehorse. Excuse me, Mr. Gosling. I didn't mean to be rude.
Oh, good gracious, look at the time. I want to have a word on the stipes. Will you excuse me, everybody? I think you'd better come with me, Fraser.
Why, Liz?
I brought you in here because there's nobody likely to come in for a few minutes. Did you hear what Harry Gosling said? He wants to sell Bed and Breakfast.
I told you so, didn't I? He's the worst judge of horse flesh on the turf. Couldn't do the distance, indeed. Doesn't he know its pedigree? I'm sure it'll go a mile, but whether it'll go 10 and a half furlongs...
Quiet. Somebody might hear you. That's just the point. He doesn't. Don't you see? He's taken Bed and Breakfast into his stables in payment of a debt. He'll find out soon enough. We've got to buy it from him. Well, with Plutarch and Bed and Breakfast, why, we could... I want Bed and Breakfast.
Well, as soon as he hears you're after Bed and Breakfast, he'll begin to have second thoughts.
He'll find out soon enough anyway. A couple more races, it must be obvious to even an idiot like Gosling that he's got a champion bred in his own down-and-out stables. I've got it.
What's that, sir?
A plan. A plan, my worthy North, and I'm putting it into execution on Monday. Yes, Mr. Darling? 216 tons were ordered. You've already had 116. The rest will be dispatched by the end of the month. Will that suit you? Fine. No, no, no. Contract will be in your hands by, let me see. Today's Wednesday. Monday, that suit you? Good. What did you say? Oh, my horse on Saturday. Oh, yes, thank you very much. Well, I would have told you. Sheer fluke, I can assure you. Still, state money came in useful. Never had a penny on it. Bye.
Yes, Mr. Ward?
Ah,
ask Mrs. Bentley to come in, please?
Certainly, sir.
Do you want me, Mr. Ward?
Oh, yes, please.
You're marvelous. I got the check from the bookie today. I feel so rich. Aren't you going to kiss me?
Well, it's the first principle of a successful employer never to kiss his secretary, at least not in working hours. Here. Come here. Now, I'm going to make you really rich. Did you really mean what you said? That you like to own horses?
Need it? Oh, you're teasing me.
I'm not, darling. You heard Gosling say he wants to sell bed and breakfast. The fool. Horse worth thousands. He's willing to take a paltry few hundred rands. Just the amount of money that Myers owed him. Now, if we don't work fast, somebody's going to buy that animal and we'll all be ditched.
Ditched? Well, what do you mean?
Bed and breakfast is a full brother to Plutarch. They both have the famous patriarch strain in them. They're thoroughbreds, aristocrats. They're...
But what's that got to do with my becoming a racehorse owner? How would I explain it to Peter, even if you did give me the money?
No, you couldn't. He's going to give it to you.
What?
Leave it to your Uncle Derek. Gosling! Harry Gosling!
Hello. Hello, Mr. Ward. Didn't expect to see you in my stables.
Well, the fact is, Harry, I had a meeting at the club and I've got a marvellous idea.
No? What's that?
Well, you're anxious to sell bed and breakfast, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know about anxious. He's a fine animal. And once I get him distanced...
Well, of course he's a fine animal. You want 800 grand for him, right?
Right.
You know we're trying to raise money for a swimming pool.
Well?
We'll raffle bed and breakfast, a Christmas raffle.
I don't get it.
Well, don't you see? We'll charge 5 rands a ticket. We'll give you your 800, and everything else we make will go to the fund. It should be at least another 1,000.
Yeah, that's all very well, but frankly, Mr. Ward, things haven't been easy for me. And it might take months before you get all your raffle money in.
Oh, of course, you're quite right. Look, I've brought you the check for 800. You keep it registered in your name until we know the raffle winner. All you do is sign this little receipt.
Yeah, but are raffles legal? Doesn't it come under the Lotteries Act or something?
No, I've discussed it with Pearson, the attorney. It won't be a raffle. It'll be an essay competition. Got it all worked out. Don't you worry. Besides, you've got yourself a sale. Is it a deal?
Yeah, it's a deal.
And shake. Like a charm.
I don't understand. I thought you were going to fix it so that I own bed and breakfast.
I have, my love, I have. As I shall be organizing the raffle or competition or whatever else you'd like to call it, I shall see to it that you do win.
No. No, that's too much. I don't mind putting something across the bookies, but to fake...
Oh, who said anything about faking? You do me less than justice, my sweet. I shall take 250 tickets, each in the name of Enid Bentley. You're almost certain to win. That's more than I would have had to pay for the horse.
Oh, it's too risky. I'm your secretary. People will say...
All right, your husband will win it. You told him that you wanted a racehorse. All we have to do is to persuade him to buy a raffle ticket and bed and breakfast becomes his. Then yours. And between us, we'll clean up.
I still don't understand why you're so anxious to get hold of bed and breakfast.
Because he's yet to prove himself. By now, everybody knows that Plutarch is a possible July winner. I've got to race him to win. But supposing there's an upset next year, nobody seems to realize that his brother, Bed and Breakfast, can do the distance. Ooh, what a clean-up.
Oh, 5 grand is a lot of money for Peter to pay for a raffle ticket.
Oh, you leave it to me. The tickets will be ready by Saturday. I'll persuade him on the race course. There you are. Wife, tell me you might be racing today. Is she here?
Yes, she's got to take some duplas.
Oh, by the way, have a little bet on the next favorite, Phantom Phil.
It's 2-1 on. I can't afford those sort of odds.
It'll win, though.
But supposing it doesn't?
Oh, well, it's up to you. Told you to back Phantom Phil.
Yes, but only by a head. I bet you had some anxious moments, Mr. Ward.
Frankly, I did. Oh, here's your winnings. 10 rands. I laid 20-10 for you.
Oh, but I can't take that. I didn't ask you to.
Come on, take it. It's yours.
But supposing it had lost, would you have come and asked me for 20 rands?
Of course.
You know you wouldn't, Mr. Wood. I can't take it.
Well, I can't either. It's not my winnings. It's yours.
But I didn't...
I'll tell you what. Now, this is the best way out of it. I've got some tickets here. They're entry forms for a competition. It's an aid charity. They're £5 each. Now, supposing you take two tickets, and then honor is satisfied all round. Okay?
Fair enough. What do I win? That is, in the unlikely event of my being successful.
A racehorse called Bed and Breakfast.
Oh, hello. I wondered where you got to.
You know that Christmas competition we're running? Your husband's just taken two tickets.
Two? But they're £5 each.
I didn't buy them. That last winner bought them for me. Well, I'm not waiting for the last race. Let's go home.
Oh, why don't you go? Mr. Ward will drop me off, won't you?
Yes, of course. With pleasure.
Hello?
Darling.
Hello. Who is it?
Hello? Yes, it's all right. I'm speaking from the upstairs phone.
Clever the way I foisted a raffle ticket on Peter, wasn't it? Now you're going to have your Christmas present. How do you like the idea of being a lady owner?
Oh, marvellous. I'm not so sure that Peter will give the horse to me.
Of course he will. You know, you could wind him round your lovely little finger.
The swines. The double-crossing swines.
Good morning, Peter. Oh, what's the matter? You're not looking so well.
I'm not feeling too well.
Well, you'd better be. The boss wants those plans ready by lunchtime. You promised him on Friday they'd be ready.
I know I did, Vanda.
Well, is it that bad?
It's worse.
Oh, look, Peter, I nearly finished my drafts. Would you like me to have a go at it for you?
No, thanks, Vanda. I'll be all right. Vanda, what does a person do who's been married to someone for 5 years and then finds out that she's nothing but a cheat?
Don't say it. Don't say anything that you might be sorry for later.
Sorry for? I overheard a conversation between my wife and her boss. I didn't mean to eavesdrop. The telephone rang. I was just leaving the house. I picked up the receiver. So did Enid on the extension upstairs. What a blind fool I've been. All those tickets for the races, all the money she's been winning.
Have you spoken to her?
No, I just walked out of the house and came
then
here.
Then don't. Don't do anything that might ruin both your lives. Everybody knows what Derek Ward is like. He has no morals at all, either in business, in racing, or with women. I know this, that if the Stripes could catch him out once, he'd never get near a race course. He's one of those few who give racing a bad name.
I didn't know that you cared so much for horse racing.
Well, you don't know very much about me, do you?
No. No, not really, come to think of it.
Well, before I married Hugh, I used to go racing with my father quite a lot. And, well, who can escape Derek Ward on the race course? Do you know, I wish I could afford to own a horse.
Here.
What's that?
Oh, it's some Christmas competition. The winner gets a racehorse worth 800 grand called Bed and Breakfast. As there'll be about 1,000 tickets, I don't suppose it's worth much. Please take it. Oh. As a matter of fact, there's two of them.
Oh, but Peter, how sweet of you, but I couldn't...
Oh, please, please, you'll be doing me a favour. These tickets were given to me by Mr. Derek Blooming Ward. Now, I'm beginning to see why. Please take them off me, Vanda.
Bed and Breakfast, eh? Oh, well, if you insist, but thank you. Now, before we get down to getting those plans out for the boss, promise me you won't do anything drastic.
Well,
I'm sure this business between your wife and Ward is not as serious as you think. Just let her know that... I'll tell you what, would you like me to talk to her?
Would you? Would you honestly, Vanda? I know if I were half a man, I'd walk out on her now. But I love her. I can't bear the thought of... not living with her anymore.
I'll ring your wife this morning and invite her to lunch. Can I pour you some more coffee, Enid?
No, thank you.
It's all your own fault. You might have known that Peter would be on the other extension line.
What am I going to do?
Do you really love your boss?
Yes, I think so. I've never said anything to Peter because, well, there was no point. You see, Derek's got a sick wife. She's in a sanatorium in Switzerland. I think that's why I admire him. He's never made a secret of the fact that he'd never stop being her husband while she was still alive.
Fiddlesticks.
What did you say?
I said fiddlesticks, Enid, my dear. I have friends who know Derek Ward very well. He's never been married. He's a gay, ruthless, middle-aged monster of a bachelor who trots out the line of a sad, consumptive wife, brings tears to the eyes of all the girls. How noble, how self-sacrificing. It's a line, a gimmick. And he gets a lot of girls that way, including you.
It can't be true.
Oh, can't it, my dear? Ask him to trot out the jolly old marriage lines, or where he got married, or where his in-laws live. Have you ever bothered?
No.
Let me ask you a straight question. How far has this thing gone between you and Derek?
Pretty far. Look, we've never gone the whole hog, if that's what you mean.
Oh, thank heaven for that. Now, let me tell you something about yourself, my girl. That mythical consumptive wife, this barrier to your ultimate happiness, was as good a safety line to you as it was to Derek. Oh, I don't think you love him. It's all the excitement. Seeing his pictures in the papers every other day. Watching him win and lose thousands. His hail fellow, well-made racecourse personality. With his cigars, champagne. Oh, it's all glamorous. But tain't love, sweetie. Love is what you feel for dull, honest, loyal Peter Bentley. Your husband. Oh, you've been so busy. Sorry, I've had my say.
Are you sure? About Derek's mythical wife?
I swear it.
Thank you, Vanda. What am I going to say to Peter?
That you've been a fool. That you love him.
And Derek?
Well, that you've thought a great deal about it, and you feel too guilty towards his wife to carry on the relationship.
Oh, Vanda. I don't know what I'd have done without you.
What's happening? Haven't you heard from the Excelsior Secretarial Services yet?
No, sir. They'll send somebody around as soon as they can.
Well, tell them they're not doing me any favours, but I must have a secretary.
Yes, sir.
Walking out on me like that, after all I've done for her. Women. Bed and breakfast. What about the horse?
Yes, Mr. Ward?
Another thing. Get hold of my trainer, Fraser North. Tell him that he's to meet me at the club for lunch. It's urgent. Two more off the shelf, please. Fraser, the draw took place last night for the winner of the essay competition. The ticket holder is in the name of Peter Bentley.
So your secretary's husband now owns bed and breakfast?
My ex-secretary. She walked out on me, winning for you. You know how well I treated her. You know how I let her in on the Plutarch deal.
And what does that mean, Mr. Ward? That horse, bed and breakfast?
If bed and breakfast stays in the Gosling stable, it hasn't got a hope of winning a decent race. You're going to take him over. They can't afford to pay the trainer's fees.
But will he agree?
Why not? I'll pay the feed, and in return, he'll give me a share in the horse.
Oh, seems fair enough.
Every racing journalist, every big punter's watching Plutarch. They know I've got a potential July winner on my hands, but who's writing about bed and breakfast? No one. If we play our cards right, bed and breakfast will win the July next year, and we'll all make a fortune.
But if you say your secretary's left you, how are you going to get her husband
You leave that to me. Enid's a smart cookie. She'll see the possibilities, even if that dope of her husband doesn't.
Oh, hello, dear.
Hello, darling. I fixed myself up with a job, starting on Monday.
I wish you didn't have to work.
Look, darling, we've gone into that. There'll be no more Derek Wards in my life, I promise you.
Talking about Derek Ward, look at this letter I've got. Here.
Dear Mr. Bentley, as chairman of the Christmas Fund Appeal Committee, we're happy to inform you that your entry accompanying ticket number 6378 was judged the winner. This means that you have won the prize of a racehorse named Bed and Breakfast, which is at present being housed at the Gosling Racing Stables. In sending you my personal congratulations, as well as those of the committee, may I say that Mr. Gosling would be grateful if you would collect your prize as soon as possible, as he does not wish to incur unnecessary forage and stabling expenses. Yours sincerely, Derek Ward. Oh, I told you this would happen, darling.
Yes, I know. As he bought all those entries himself, it was inevitable that I'd win, I suppose. Are you sorry I gave the tickets to Vanda?
No, I'm glad. I don't want anything to remind me what a fool I've been. What do we do now?
Just write the swine a note saying that we don't own the tickets. For the real winner is Mrs. Vanderpool.
Now look what's happened. He didn't give it to Enid as a Christmas present. He gave the tickets away. Legally, the horse belongs to a Mrs. Vanderpool.
Vanderpool? Pooh.
Now, unless we work fast, all our plans will come to nothing. Now, get hold of her. Offer to train the horse for her. Offer to buy it from her. No, don't do that. That'll cause one or two of the boys to start...
No, leave it to me, sir. I think if I offer to take care of her new acquisition and give her credit until the horse begins to win stake money, Mrs. Poole will agree.
Oh, I hope you're right. And remember, that horse mustn't gallop beyond a mile until we've laid our bets for next year's July.
Oh, another cup of coffee, darling.
No, thank you, dear. Look at this.
Oh, what does it say?
It's Captain Kettle writing in the paper. With Plutarch's win over 10 furlongs on Saturday, beating the imported filly Gay Paris by nearly 3 lengths, puts Mr. Derek Ward's entry right in front as a possible July winner next month. Although at this stage it would be a mistake to commence prophecy, my personal belief is that Plutarch's continuous good form and obvious staying power would be a very important factor. It must be remembered that the time record for the July handicap was set by Tiger Fish, who completed the distance in 2 minutes, 8 3/5 seconds in 1959. Plutarch has run over the same distance in 2 minutes, 12 1/3 seconds. When one takes a line on this horse's pedigree, one shouldn't be surprised if Plutarch doesn't start favorite. Now that the handicapping has been announced, it would appear that Plutarch has been treated rather generously at 7 8. Interesting point is that Bed and Breakfast, which has never run over 10 1/2 furlongs, has been awarded 7 stone. Those who like to plunge in early might well consider an each-way bet on Plutarch as almost a certainty. Well, what do you think, Enid? Although I hate the man's guts, you said 8 months ago that he'd win the July handicap.
I wouldn't back his horse if I thought it was a racing certainty at 100 to 1. What I can't understand is that Vander has handed Bed and Breakfast over to Fraser North Stables.
Oh, I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, is that you, Peter?
Hello, Vander. I'm just leaving for the office.
Oh, I was hoping to catch you before you left. I have to go up to the City Hall for Mr. Bloomberg. Peter, have you seen the betting?
Yes.
You can get 50 to 1 on Bed and Breakfast. Put 20 rand on it.
But Vander...
There's no such thing as certainties in racing, just for my sake.
Well, if you put it that way, you know how grateful Enid and I are.
Peter, dear, I don't want you to do it out of gratitude. It's very early to judge, but I think Bed and Breakfast has got a chance. An outside chance, but still a chance.
All right, I'll do it.
God bless you. Love to Enid. Bye.
Was it Vander?
Yes, I promised to put 20 rand on Bed and Breakfast. It's 50 to 1.
You see, that swine Derek was right. He said the danger was Bed and Breakfast. He said they didn't know how to train him. Oh, but now that he's with Fraser North Stables...
Exactly. I'll phone the bookie as soon as I get to the office.
Yes, Mr. Ward?
I want you to get me Mr. Jaime Lofter.
Yes, Mr. Ward.
Indian Chief 5 to 1. Plutarch 5 to 1. Lunar Astronaut 12 to 1. Palmerham 14 to 1. Yes?
You're through to Mr. Lofter. You're through, Mr. Lofter. Speak up, please.
Hello, Mr. Ward. Long time no see.
I've got a commission for you. I want you to get through to every centre in the Republic. I've got 20,000 rands to spend on...
I know, Mr. Ward. You don't have to tell me. Plutarch, are you worth as much as that?
Not Plutarch. Bed and Breakfast.
Bed and Breakfast? You must be kidding. He's never run more than a mile in his life.
Do you want to take the commission or don't you?
Take it? Who wouldn't? If that horse wins, we clean up ½ a million rand. But, Mr. Ward...
Look, we've no time to lose. I want you to get hold of your stooges and spread it out, 2,000 rands each. But they'd better place their bets the same time, exactly. As soon as it's known that money's come in for Bed and Breakfast, particularly this sort of money, the price will come tumbling down. Now, have you got 10 reliable men around the country?
Oh, sure.
Right, Harvey. I'll let them place their bets at exactly 2 o'clock. Now, this is going to shake the book somewhat.
You're telling me. Excuse me, Mr. Ward. When do I get my check?
You'll have the check this morning. This is the biggest coup since racing.
That's if it wins.
It'll win, all right. Don't you worry.
...might have caused quite considerable controversy in overseas tennis circles. Racing. With still a month to go, the July handicap scene has taken on a sensational new pattern as far as the advance betting is concerned. Less than 2 days ago, Indian Chief and Plutarch were undoubted favorites at 5-1, whilst 3-year-old Bed and Breakfast at 7 stone was considered the rank outsider at 50-1. Now it has joined Plutarch and Indian Chief for favorite honors. They are each quoted at 6-1. This is the most sensational betting upset in the history of the South African turf. It will be remembered that despite the distance, the draw has always played a big part in the result of the July. All three horses are very well drawn indeed, yet Bed and Breakfast has shown nothing at trial gallop so far to warrant his sudden favoritism. Rugby. In a speech this afternoon, the chairman of the...
Oh, do you hear that? A horse we backed at 50-1 is now only 6-1. Oh, Vanda, you're wonderful.
Oh, no, I'm not. By the time the race starts, Bed and Breakfast will be hot favorite. Probably 6-4, 2-1. Now, if I were you, I'd wait a while and then back either Indian Chief or Plutarch.
But, Vanda, I don't understand you. It was you who asked us to back it.
Tell me the truth now. Did you put on more than 20 rand?
No. You didn't put any money on, did you, Enid? You know what you promised.
I've learned my lesson. I've kept my promise, darling. Vanda, why have you changed your mind?
Oh, I'm sorry, Enid, dear. I've deceived you. I had to do it. You see, I wanted to make sure that if anyone asked you if you'd backed the horse you nearly won in the Christmas competition, you'd have to be able to say yes. If it got to the ears of Derek Ward that you hadn't backed it, well, he'd begin to smell a rat.
I don't understand you.
Bed and Breakfast doesn't stay over the mile.
But don't you understand? That's what Derek Ward wanted everybody to believe. He's a full brother to Plutarch. No one's extended him. Frankly, I couldn't understand why you allowed yourself to be talked into letting Fraser North handle your horse for you. He used to say to Derek...
Never mind what Fraser North says to Derek Ward.
I'll tell you what, Mr. Ward. We'd better start letting Bed and Breakfast have its head. We've yet got to convince ourselves that it can stay the 10.5 furlongs as well as Pluto.
Oh, don't be silly. Of course it can. It's only a week to go. Gradually does it. And what does Rocky think?
Well, he's not at all that confident. I mean, he's never been allowed to extend the horse, has he?
Look, if you told Rocky to gallop that course tomorrow morning and let Bed and Breakfast give all it's got, with all those snoopers around their stopwatches, well, you know what's going to happen.
I can imagine.
The evening papers will be full of it. Sudden reversal of form. Bed and Breakfast shows the rest his heels. Oh, the bookmakers will pulverize me. Oh, live and let live. We're taking R250,000 off them. Let all the mugs back Indian Chief or Plutarch or Gay Perry or any other horse. Let me let you into a little secret, Fraser. I've tipped the bookies off that, in my opinion, Plutarch will finish behind Bed and Breakfast.
I don't agree.
Hey, wait a minute. You're beginning to fall for the newspaper propaganda. Has Rocky galloped the horse over 10.5 full out?
No.
Well, there you are. And I won't forget you, Fraser. How much is the stake money? 35,000. Well, if Bed and Breakfast wins, you get a third. How's that?
It's very generous of you, sir. Well, I must get back to the stables. Look at him. Honest to goodness racing journalists. Bookies, spies, curious spectators, all trying to find the answer to the riddle. What's going to win the July on Saturday?
Who's Bed and Breakfast racing with?
Black Maria.
Oh, he's striding out well.
Yes, but wait till he gets out to the milepost.
Did you tell Rocky to give it all he's got?
Yes. Here they come. Well, look at this. Black Maria's pulling away from Bed and Breakfast. I told you that horse doesn't go more than a mile.
I know.
What time have you got?
Not very good. 2:48.
Here comes the power of the press.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mrs. Poole. Hello, Fraser.
Afternoon,
hello.
Mac.
Well, Mrs. Poole, I timed your horse's gallop. Being a bit cagey, aren't you?
Why, what do you mean?
2:48. I spoke to the jockey. He said he was going full out. That's not going to win the July, is it? Why don't you give the public a break?
No, just a minute, Mac. Mrs. Poole loves racing and wouldn't do anything to spoil the game. Just what do you mean by giving the public a break?
Look, there's been a fortune put on Bed and Breakfast. Now, Bed and Breakfast is a full brother to Plutarch. Suddenly, the rank outsider becomes favorite from 50-1 to 6-1. What gives, Mrs. Poole? Why don't you show the public what this horse really can do?
Well, you timed it. You timed the gallop.
Is that a fair indication of Bed and Breakfast's chances on Saturday?
Yes.
Rocky made as if the horse was a great miler. After that, Black Maria streaked away. What is this? What am I going to tell my readers? Oh, never mind the big boys. What about the others? The man who loves racing and likes a little gamble. The men and women who keep racing going in this country. What are they to think?
You can tell them what I've said all along. Bed and Breakfast has been entered for the July for the excitement of the race. I can't understand why he's been made favorite. And I think I'll be very lucky if he runs a place. Oh, but I doubt it.
What do you say, Fraser?
Mrs. Poole is the owner. But as the trainer of Bed and Breakfast, I'll go along with what this lady says. I don't think the horse can go the distance. I think 10.5 furlongs is too much for him.
And you'll allow me to publish this in tonight's paper, Mrs. Poole?
Why, yes, you have my permission.
I realize one thing. The public are inclined to follow the big money. There's many a punter who will back Bed and Breakfast because it's a favorite. Your statement will put a number of them off. And if it does win, someone on the course will want to lynch you.
Never mind what my trainer says. You publish my statement. Bed and Breakfast cannot win.
And one more item of news. Mrs. Vanderpool, who became the owner of Bed and Breakfast as the result of a competition last Christmas, told a racing journalist today that, in her opinion, Bed and Breakfast was not suited to win tomorrow's July. She felt that the 10.5 furlongs would prove too great a distance. Nevertheless, at the call over this evening, Bed and Breakfast hardened to firm favorite at 4-1, with Plutarch and Indian Chief sharing the second favorite honors at 5-1.
Hello.
Mr. Wood.
Speaking.
You've seen the paper this evening, Mr. Wood?
No, but I've just heard the radio, if you're talking about Mrs. Poole's statement.
She says he hasn't got a chance. Look, Mr. Wood, the boys have been following you. I mean, to stick 20,000 grand on a horse, that's no way. What I've told all the boys, people like Slaps the Art and Nick the Spieler King, I mean, they've backed it too.
What are you trying to say, Hymie?
Well, I mean to say, Mr. Moody, it's your stable. I mean, after all, Fraser North is your trainer as well. I mean, what does he say?
I'm getting bored with this. I didn't tell you to back Bed and Breakfast. You undertook a commission for which you get your usual cut. You backed it at 50-1, didn't you?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, don't get angry with me, Mr. Wood. Of course, if it comes off, we'll all make a killing, but I was just wondering if we shouldn't lay off a bit. You know, back the other. I mean, the other favourite. What about Plutarch?
Of course. Now that Plutarch's 5-1, I've taken 20,000 to 4.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. That's all I wanted to know. You know you've got to play it a bit safe-like, haven't you?
Quite true. Don't want to be too greedy.
Well, Mr. Wood, I'll see you on the battlefield.
You what? Oh, yes. See you tomorrow.
It's going to be quite a day, sir. I wouldn't like to be in Mrs. Poole's shoes when Bed and Breakfast wins. What do you think her game is, sir?
I've no idea. I've never met the lady. I don't think she has any game, as you call it. The only thing is, she's no judge of horseflesh.
But it's right.
Don't you worry about North. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, how like that is it, sir? Well, I feel better. Playing it up for the bookies' sake, eh? Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Peter, isn't it exciting?
Yes, of course it is. Let's say the world is wide for you.
Thank you for bringing me, darling. I know you didn't want to.
Well, we had to come. We couldn't make Vanderdyne. That's not being here in case the horse wins. Surely she wants to see the place.
Oh, she's coming, all right. It's just that she wanted us to represent her in the paddock before the race. There's something up her sleeve. I don't know what it is. Oh, don't they all look magnificent?
Yes. This is the part of July I like best.
The parade.
Doesn't Plutarch look wonderful?
Said it's been breakfast.
Guess what? I'm going to the tote to have a place bet on Smiling Through.
Well, if you feel like it, you better hurry up. The race is due to start in about 5 or 6 minutes.
Quite in. Levine walked around again. Henderson of Lazy Rivers put up his whip. Seems to be something wrong there. No, it's all right. And the favorite Bed and Breakfast is playing up a bit too. The whole line's broken. Black Maria, Passionate Lady, and Felicity are holding back. And the starters order them in again. And away to a very good start indeed for the race now worth 35,000 run with Black Maria showing. Then comes King's Emerald, Indian Chief, one steward there. It's Bed and Breakfast. Bed and Breakfast is far up in front of Joe Black Maria. Plutarch's there. Nothing in it at this stage. They're rather bunched field.
Now it's Gay Police that's taken over. Gay Police slightly ahead of bed and breakfast. Two tasks lying very handy there, with Indian Chief almost alongside. And then comes Jack Hammer, King's Emerald, alongside Jack Hammer. Palmer Ham with Felicity in the rear of the field. Past the eight now, still no change. Jack Hammer's gone through there. Jack Hammer with Levison up. Has started opening and taken over the lead. It's Jack Hammer, Bed and Breakfast, Plutarch, then comes Indian Chief and Passionate Lady together. Immediately alongside is King's Emerald, going very well indeed. And now comes Black Mariah, smiling through, Moon Astronaut, Palmer Ham, Gapery, and Felicity. Felicity is still in the rear of the field as they pass the drill ball into the seventh. Bed and Breakfast has taken over again. Bed and Breakfast, King's Emerald, Plutarch. These three are now showing a tremendous pace, and the pace is really on, could be anybody's race at this stage. And here comes Indian Chief. It looks as though the leading favourite is going to fight it out. But it's Bed and Breakfast dominating. Bed and Breakfast the length away from Indian Chief, Plutarch. Alongside Plutarch, still King's Emerald, smiling through, has come on the scene. But it's still Bed and Breakfast as they go around the curve towards the subway. Bed and Breakfast has extended the lead now, very clearly indeed. Bed and Breakfast, today's favourite, is beginning to look the winner as they reach the subway. Bed and Breakfast beginning to look in trouble there, though. Plutarch has taken over. Bed and Breakfast has dropped back. And it's Plutarch, and now smiling through, is making a forward move. And there's Indian Chief, has two furlongs to go. And it's Indian Chief fighting it over King's Emerald and Plutarch. And Plutarch has taken over. No, King's Emerald. What a race this is. Less than a furlong to go. It's Indian Chief, Plutarch. King's Emerald, there's nothing in it between these three. And Jockey Anderson giving Indian Chief the whip. Indian Chief and King's Emerald. King's Emerald. It's Plutarch. Plutarch still there. And it's anybody's race. But there's King's Emerald going in front. Some race. And while they're waiting for the official numbers to go up, there's no doubt about it that Sir Richard Oldsworthy's King's Emerald is this year's winner of the July. A fabulous race, with smiling through, making a last minute burst to snatch second place from Plutarch.
Well, quickly, we have to go to the unsaddling enclosure.
Ah, there's Vanda. Doesn't she look pleased with herself? Anyone would think she won the race.
Look, Derek Ward leading in Plutarch. Let's go and congratulate him on getting third.
Hello, you two. Wasn't it exciting? Didn't Bed and Breakfast run well?
Run well? It looked at one time as though he was going to win.
Just like I told you, he's a miler. Oh, the distance was too much. But he's going to win a lot of races. Oh, I'm very pleased with him. Uh-oh, here comes Mr. Ward and his trainer. Congratulations on getting third place, Derek.
Vanda.
Yes, little Vanda.
You two know each other.
I will now divulge my carefully guarded secret. I once worked for Derek, if that's the right description. A matter of fact, I was what you might call his girlfriend. Oh, but he couldn't marry me, you see. He had a sick wife in a sanatorium in Switzerland. We had a lot in common, my father being a steward and a race owner. In fact, it was my father who owned Tetrach, and my grandfather who owned Patriarch.
What is this? Mrs. Vanderpool is supposed to own Bed and Breakfast.
That's right, dear. Vanda Anderson, whom you loved so dearly, got a little wise and married Hugh Poole. Trouble with you, Derek, is that you wouldn't listen. I told the whole world that Bed and Breakfast wouldn't go the distance. You thought you knew better.
It's a conspiracy. A rotten, dumb...
Now, steady on. There was no conspiracy. You were so full of yourself, you wouldn't listen.
Well, what are you looking so pleased about?
I'll tell you what I'm pleased about. But the best horse won the race. I thought at one time that Plutarch might take it.
And Bed and Breakfast? What did you think of Bed and Breakfast?
Same as Mrs. Poole. I didn't think it could win. You put a fortune on it. I didn't.
Why, you listen to me.
No, Mr. Ward. You listen to me. I train horses, like my father did before me. It was Dad who trained Tetrarch and Patriarch. Vanda's father was one of the straightest men on the course. Pulling a betting coup before the bookies know what hit them is part of the game. But I've never given instructions to pull a horse in my life. And if you'd have done so, you and I would have parted company. You big-shot gamblers think you know it all. You don't keep racing going. It's those who run their horses for the love of the sport. The trainers who want to get their animals to such a pitch of condition that they become an honor to their stable.
What is all this holier-than-thou stuff? You knew what I was doing.
Of course I did. So long as you didn't do anything crooked, that had nothing to do with me.
Didn't it? You helped to ruin me, you swine. You're no longer my trainer, do you understand?
Oh, come, Derek. Are you the man I once knew? What was that you once said? You're a gambler in business, racing, and your love affairs. Taking a chance was part of the excitement. Do you remember? Well, you've had an exciting day today, haven't you, darling?
¶¶
Listen again next week for another play from the archives of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa in Radio Theatre.